prophet says, abide by truth, will not enter paradise. Prophet says, abide by truth, will not enter paradise.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, there are many blessings of reciting through the Pak upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, Akka sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has stated that the closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most through the Pak upon me in this world. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we learn from the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that Islam holds in high regard the dignity and the respect and the honor of a Muslim. And this is time and time again mentioned in the blessed books, that the respect of a Muslim and his honor, his status and the protection of his good things and the protection of all of his treasures is incumbent upon every person that meets him. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we learn from the glorious Quran and the beautiful Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we should look at every Muslim with the utmost respect, and we should not in our minds degrade or disrespect or dishonor them, because this degrading and dishonoring and disrespect often leads to diseases of the heart, which then manifest themselves, which then come out in the form of backbiting. And once we indulge in this grave sin, this sin gradually not only destroys our life and our peace and our tranquility, but it also damages Islamic society, our lives, our homes, our relationships, and affects the whole of our culture. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, one Muslim should safeguard the honor, the wealth, the respect, the dignity of another Muslim brother. In Bukhari Shariat, volume 16, it has been cited that if somebody secretly performed a despicable act and then he was asked, "Have you done this?" it is permissible for him to deny performing that act, because it is a sin to publicize a sin. And therefore it is permissible in those particular circumstances for him to actually lie and say, "I have not done this." Because this is how important Islam treats the dignity and respect of a Muslim in the eyes of others. Subhanallah. And today, we very easily fall into this trap. And some examples that the learned scholars give will give us an idea of how cautious and how careful we have to be. If two Muslim brothers start to talk about another Muslim, and one of them simply says this, "Whatever I know of him, if I was to tell you, it would be backbiting." Just in that sentence, the scholars write that what you have done is attached a negative to that person. So you have given the impression, or you've given the indication, that if you were to tell the other person about the third person, you would indulge in backbiting. So you would be disclosing some of his bad things. And the scholars write that even that is backbiting. Allahu Akbar. And that one should refrain from that. Why? Because you are indirectly referring to his bad habits. And therefore, in the eyes of the person you're speaking to, you're degrading him. And that degrading him is not acceptable in Islam. Who are you to degrade a third Muslim brother in the eyes of another? No, Islam does not allow that. And this is how sensitive the beautiful teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows that Islam is. Things like, may Allah azza wa jal forgive us, what can I tell you about him? Oh, he's bad. Or things like, I can't tell you anything, all I can do is pray for him, that Allah gives him hidayat. Things like that, my dear Islamic brothers, the scholars write, is backbiting. Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliya says, when somebody says that, I've tried everything, I've tried to convince him to come to the masjid, but he won't understand. Oh, he's lost it, he's gone, he won't listen to anybody. Even if you've invited him towards good and gained the reward of that, you have now backbitten him and destroyed your deeds. Or things like, he's lost the plot. The scholars write, that is backbiting as well. He never listens to anybody, he's too arrogant, he's too proud. Oh, his ears are closed. He's come knocking on my door. He only comes when he needs something. When he doesn't need anything, he stays away. Or, watch this brother. You know, when he needs something, he'll be really nice to you. When he doesn't, he don't want to know you. All of this, the scholars write, is backbiting. And yet, because we don't think it is, indirectly the shaitan is leading us into a path of sins. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, if we all held in high esteem all those around us, not only would our mind and our hearts find rest, because a lot of the convoluted confusion that goes on in our hearts and minds is about the bad characteristics of others, and he's like this, and she's like this, and he said this, and he might have said that, and he might have done this, and all that serves to confuse and destroy our peace and tranquility. But if we were to have a blissful and happy mind, he might have a bad habit but nothing to do with me, he's a good man, she's a good sister, she's this, he's good, have nice opinions about everybody, your life would change. Subhanallah. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, Islam is so sensitive when it comes to the feelings of others that we're not permitted to hurt anybody's feelings, no matter what happens. And in volume 29 of Fatawa Rizviya Sharif, Ala Hazrat Azim al-Barakat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur Rahman says that, narrating a hadith in Mubarakah, without being compelled, whoever presents himself willingly to be disgraced is not from amongst us. So what this beautiful hadith in Mubarakah is saying to us is this, that you are not allowed to even put yourself in a position where you would lose your dignity and respect. And it gives us an idea of how dignity and respect is preserved in Islam. That you yourself, being in control of everything, and willingly and knowingly, Islam prohibits you from putting yourself in a position where you will be degraded and disrespected. So how can Islam allow you to degrade others? It can't, and it doesn't. And backbiting, therefore, is a grave, grave sin. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, the way that Islam protects us is that even when we're making dua, the scholars write that we need to be careful if we're praying for our brothers and sisters and relatives. We don't want to, even during the dua, mention their sins and ask for forgiveness for them. Keep it general. And what the scholars write is that if you want to make a general point, make it generally. Do not target a specific person or a specific group. In Bahari Shariat, page 173, volume 16, it is written that backbiting against an entire populace of a particular town or city is not considered to be backbiting. So if you said, the whole town is like this, because the people cannot be identified, a group cannot be identified, a person cannot be identified, this is not backbiting. So a statement like, the people of X town are such and such, that is just a general statement, and it's not classed as backbiting because nobody can be identified. Because without doubt, not everybody in that town can be like the way you're saying. But you're referring to a group, but that group cannot be identified. And so long as they can't be identified, their respect and honour cannot be decreased, and they cannot be degraded, and they are not identified, and therefore they're not targeted, and therefore it is not backbiting. But at the same time, look at the beauty of Islam. Even imitating a crippled person, not speaking with your tongue, but imitating them. For example, if somebody has an eye ailment and only one of their eyes operates, if you did this and pretended that you were copying them, Islam considers that to be degrading and considers that to be backbiting. Somebody walks with a limp and you try to copy them in a mocking way, Islam considers that to be backbiting. This is the beautiful deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And what Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam taught us, that if you wanted to help your brothers and you sat with a lot of people, and if you generally said, made a statement, people do this, but they shouldn't, and nobody could identify the particular person, even that particular person might be able to think that it might relate to me, but nobody could identify him, that isn't considered backbiting. Islam, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, is not only a beautiful religion, but a very wise one as well. And so, the Islam allows you, in certain circumstances, to disclose certain things. So it's not that these are the strict rules. When we look at the rules of Sharia, they are beautiful. And the scholars write that we have this misconception these days that it's the where the law of the land is there, you should follow that, and there is some sort of conflict with Sharia. People are making that up. The difficulty is that we have lack of understanding. Indeed, it is written that where there is no clash between the laws of Sharia and the law of the land, and by disobeying the law of the land, you will put your own reputation and your status and your dignity into question, it is incumbent upon you to comply with the law of the land. And in this modern society, in the different countries that we live in, there is no difficulty with complying with the law of the land, because the law of the land never tells you to do anything which is against Sharia. The law of the land will always tell you to stay away from the evils of society. The law of the land never compels you to do anything. And this is where the misconception is. And the scholars write that if you are living in such a country, then it is important that you comply with the law of the land. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, in certain situations, it is permissible to backbite against certain people. For example, to identify and to highlight people with mistaken beliefs or corrupt beliefs, the scholars write that it is important and allowed that you can backbite and identify people with deviant beliefs and those who corrupt people's minds so that others can be saved from the danger. Another time where you are allowed to disclose other people's faults is to help save others from harm. So if you know that a particular person is wicked, is a fraudster, is a liar, is a deceiver, is a cheat, then it is permissible for you to tell the people to stay away from you. If you know that a particular trader sells faulty goods or defective goods, for example, you buy something and you find out that this is defective and it's a fake, it's not real. Should you say that this trader is a liar, his business is corrupt? Is that backbiting? The scholars write, no, that isn't backbiting. Indeed, they base it upon a beautiful hadith in Mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this: you save yourselves from the conversation of the evildoer, but when will people recognize him? Talk about evildoers' evil habits which he possesses so people can save themselves. Beautiful hadith Mubarakah in Sunan al-Kubra, volume 10, page 354, hadith number 2914. So, like we identified, that backbiting is allowed when it comes to talking about people with corrupt beliefs to save others and identify people, or with fraudsters or those who deceive people to let everybody know, or those who sell defective goods. In the same way, if somebody asks you in relation to a potential business partner or for marriage, say somebody's giving their daughter's hand in marriage, and you know that that particular person is a cheat and a fraudster, you would tell him, don't make him your business partner because he did this, this and this. That isn't backbiting. Or do not give your daughter's hand in marriage to this person. I know that this person is wrong for these and these reasons. And in fact, in some situations, you are duty bound to do that, to help protect your Muslim brother. Then it is also permissible to talk about others behind their back and talk about their defects when you are filing a complaint in the justice system, in the courts. You're talking to police officers and you're giving your statement. This is not considered to be a sinful form of backbiting. With the intention to correct a wrongdoer, it is permissible to complain to somebody who is in charge of them. For example, if an employee is doing something wrong and you find out about it, you can tell the employer so that they can chastise or control the employee, or you can complain about a murid, a disciple, in the court of his peer, in the court of his spiritual guide, or you can complain to a father about his son and tell them, or you can complain about a wife to the husband if she has faults which he does not know about, with the intention that he will assist, or vice versa. And these are all permissible forms of talking about somebody's defect behind their back. The others that the scholars write is this, that it is permissible to talk about a person by name to obtain an official religious verdict, a fatwa. It is better if we can use general names, so use Zaid or Bakr or something like that, but to get the legal opinion of a mufti, it is permissible to use the name of a particular person. So, Mufti Saab, this is what happened and this was the person involved. And in those situations, you can use it, although it is better to use general names. So even in that situation, where you are seeking a legal Islamic fatwa, you do not disclose the name of the wrongdoer. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, there are situations, alhamdulillah, that Islam recognizes that inevitably we will be in a position where we have to reveal the defects of others. But in my beauty of Islam lies in the fact that that is recognizing that these situations are very particular, and the general situation is that we are not allowed to disclose anybody's defects. If somebody is openly committing sin, then the scholars write that you are allowed to backbite against him. So if a person openly steals and drinks and shaves off their beard and does all these things, then it is permissible to discuss, but only that publicized sin. So if somebody openly drinks, you are then allowed to discuss that sin that he does openly, generally, but you will not be able to talk about other sins of that person which he doesn't do openly. And the scholars write that it is impermissible to talk about the sins of a person that he keeps a secret. That is wrong. If he openly goes out and steals and he's not ashamed of it, or openly does the wrong thing and he's not ashamed of it, then it's permissible to talk about that particular sin. But generally, you cannot reveal all of his bad traits. And this is how beautifully Islam deals with this situation. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, we should be very careful when it comes to the honour and dignity of others. We should not search out for opportunities to try and disclose other people's secrets. Indeed, we should never try and look for situations where we can learn other people's secrets. The scholars of old taught us that if you accidentally found out about somebody's secret, somebody's sin or somebody's defect, then hide it. And the incentive was that if you hide their sin, Allah Azza wa Jal will hide your faults in this world and in the hereafter. And the scholars wrote that this was an opportunity for you to present this sincerity in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. By disclosing this sin, you were going to fall into all sorts of difficulties of backbiting everything else. Unfortunately, today, it's not a situation where we accidentally come across a secret of somebody else and then we disclose it. No, it's far worse than that. Today we are actively going out looking for other people's faults, other people's shortcomings, and then we are going out of our way to use social media and other platforms to advertise those sins. And where before the sin was perhaps multiplied by one or two, because we were learning of this secret and we were passing it on to one or two people by word of mouth. Now, by sending simple messages, we are sharing it with thousands of people. And in our mind we think, yes, I've shared it with 1,000 people. 1,000 people now know how bad he is. What you haven't realized is you have multiplied your sin by 1,000 times. Allahu Akbar. And now that one sin of backbiting, and it's such a grave and heinous crime, has been multiplied thousands of times. And then when those 1,000 people send it out to a few hundred each, this sin now becomes multiplied by thousands and thousands. And eventually, down the line, when it stops, if that fault was the truth, then you have fallen into backbiting, and you have all the punishment for backbiting multiplied by the thousands of times that it's been repeated. And yet, if it was a lie, then you have slandered that person, and it is even worse than that. Allahu Akbar. Therefore, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, when you speak, think 1,000 times that it's not backbiting. And when you write and use social media, think million times before you do it. Because you are using this tool now to publicize this person's sin or defect. What gives you the permission to do that? Nothing. Islam doesn't allow that. And by doing it, you are building a difficulty for yourself for the Day of Judgment. How will you be able to explain? How will you be able to give account of the millions of times that that message gets relayed? And some brothers are very proud of the fact that my message has gone viral. Allahu Akbar. If that message was a beautiful invitation to good and a forbidding evil, then yes, you should be proud of the fact that your message has gone viral. Because anybody who acts upon it, you will be rewarded for it. But what if that was an evil message, full of sins, backbiting, and it's now been relayed a million times? How are you going to give account for that? Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, we need to be very careful about everything we do. Backbiting is a heinous crime. It destroys the very fabric of our society, which is based upon respect and dignity of the Muslim. If a Muslim brother's shortcomings are mentioned, and in his presence or behind his back, if he finds out, it hurts him. Society loses compassion. People fall into disarray. Families are destroyed. Masajid, the mosques up and down the country, are suffering because of backbiting, because of people talking of other people's defects, other people's decisions, criticizing them when they're not there, not doing it to help them, but doing it to create fitna, and all based upon our hypocritical mindset that doesn't look at our own defects, but identifies the defects of others and then starts to propagate that without any Shari permission. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, whether it is backbiting in sympathy or whether it is backbiting out of habit, Islam controls it very, very carefully. And so there are very, very specific situations where the scholars of Islam have given certain permission to say certain things which could be classed as backbiting, but there is no sin in these particular circumstances. But don't kid yourself that you fall into these categories unless you do, because the consequences of that will be very severe, not only in this world, but in the grave and in the hereafter. And in Islam, in a proper Islamic society, in an Islamic state, where the non-Muslims of that state are paying their taxes to the Islamic state, in that situation, Islam is so beautiful that it doesn't allow you to backbite even against non-Muslims. It is not permissible in that situation to backbite against non-Muslims. So where it is a zimmi kuffar, you are not allowed to backbite against them. This is how beautiful Islam is. And my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, when it comes to the deviant, let me narrate to you this, that two deviants those with bad beliefs visited Sayyidina Abu Bakr Muhammad bin Sareen rahmatullah alayhi, and they said, let us quote to you a hadith mubarak. And he said, no, I don't want to listen to you. Let us quote to you an ayat of the Quran. And he said, I don't want to listen to you, go away. And after they had gone, his disciples asked him, Hazrat, why didn't you just listen to them? They weren't going to quote hadith and Quran. And he said, no, my belief, my iman is the greatest treasure I have. And I didn't know how they were going to add their own interpretation to the hadith mubarak or the Quran. And I do not want anything diluting my iman. I don't want to listen to anything which could attack my beliefs. And therefore, these people are the ones that we stay away from. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the ability to protect our tongues from backbiting, and give us the ability to protect our hearts from all sorts of bad beliefs and deviancy. May Allah Azza wa Jal keep our tongues moist in the zikr of Him and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Prophet says, a backbiter will not enter paradise. Prophet says, a backbiter will not enter paradise.